My name is Jessica Curtis. I'm a graduate student at New Mexico State University, and today I will be talking about comparative gene expression between semigamatic and non-semigamatic Pima cotton. So semigamy was first reported in 1963 by Turcotte and Feaster. It's an abnormal sexual reproduction in which the sperm and egg nuclei did not fully fuse. So the resulting embryo develops independently. So as we can see in the figure on the right, when a virescent semigamatic female is crossed with a normal green male, the result is usually a chimera. As you can see in the main leaf, the one that's laying flat, the green represents a haploid representing the paternal parent. Paternal parent, and the virescent kind of yellow sector represents the semigamatic female. And currently, studies have shown and confirmed that semigamy is controlled by one incompletely dominant gene. So why do we care about semigamy? It offers a feasible way to generate haploids in cotton breeding. Currently, techniques such as microspore culture and ovule culture are ineffective and very costly. And currently, semigamy remains the one with the most potential to generate haploids in cotton. And it also provides a genetic system to study reproductive biology. And while there is currently genetic data about semigamy, we do not know the molecular mechanism associated with the gene, which leads us to the objective of this study, which is to use microarray technology to identify differentially expressed genes associated with semigamy and Pima cotton. And our ultimate goal for the project is to eventually isolate and characterize the semigamy gene and use it in our haploid breeding program. So experimentally, what we did was we isolated anthers and ovaries from a non-semigamatic genotype, PMS1, and its isogenic mutant, semigamatic mutant, 57-4. So the total RNA from each of the four samples was isolated and sent to Genome Explorations in Memphis for hybridization and preliminary data analysis. We decided to use the relatively new Affymetrix cotton genome gene chips. They have nearly 24,000 probe sets representing 21,854 cotton transcripts. And they consist of EST sequences from four species of cotton, two diploids, Gossypium arboreum and Raimondii, and two widely used tetraploid cultivars, Gossypium hirsutum and Gossypium barbadense, upland cotton and Pima cotton, respectively. So here is a general outline of the microarray technology. After the total RNA is isolated from your tissue of interest in our experiment, we are interested in the anthers and the ovaries. After the RNA is isolated and cleaned up, purified, it is reverse transcribed to synthesize a double-stranded cDNA. The cDNA then serves as a template for an in vitro transcription reaction using biotinylated nucleotide triphosphates, and the end result, we get this biotin-labeled copy RNA. The biotin-labeled cRNA is then fragmented using heat and magnesium 2+ cations. The fragmentation allows more efficient and reproducible hybridization. So once it's fragmented, we add it to a hybridization buffer and through base pairing, we allow the fragmented cRNA to hybridize with the probes attached to the gene chip surface. And after approximately 18 hours, the chip is washed to remove any unhybridized material and stained using a fluorescent chromophore. The chip is then scanned with a confocal laser. The laser excites the dye molecule and it will emit a fluorescent light, which is picked up by a sensor, and we get a fluorescence display, which is read by a computer. So as before mentioned, the hybridizations and preliminary data analyses were carried out by genome explorations. And in this study, a pairwise comparison between semigamatic and non-semigamatic genotypes was carried out to identify potentially differentially expressed genes. So Genome Exploration scans our chips using an Affymetrix gene chip operating software. It uses a one-side Wilcoxon signed rank test. Sorry, I forget what this is. So the software analyzes the data using four algorithms to independently calculate relative mean signal, detection calls, signal log ratios, and change calls. So the software uses the algorithms to calculate these p-values based on this Wilcoxon signed rank test, and it more or less judges the reliability of the signal, whether you can trust your data or not. And so from the p-values, we subtract the test p-values representing our semigrammatic line from the control p-values representing the non-semigrammatic line to get these change p-values. And within the software, a change p-value of 0.0025 or less is designated as an upregulated gene, while a change p-value of 0.9975 or more is designated as a downregulated gene. And additionally, signal log 2, log base 2 ratios were generated for each probe set. And the log base 2 ratios are used instead of fold change to kind of mask the discontinuity of the values as they approach 1 and negative 1. And our results, in the answers, we were able to identify approximately 280 genes shown to be differentially expressed in our semigrammatic line, with 52 being upregulated and 232 being downregulated. And in our ovaries, we were able to identify more than 1,800 genes that were shown to be differentially expressed, with 149 being upregulated and 1,600 being downregulated. And interestingly, when we compared two lists from the differentially expressed anthers and ovaries, we found 81 genes in common differentially expressed in both tissues. And this graph shows the correlation between the commonly differentially expressed genes. As we can see in quadrant 3, most of the genes are downregulated, and it seems that if they're downregulated in one tissue, they're also downregulated in the other. We did have two anomalies in sectors 2 and 4, where in one tissue it's upregulated and one tissue it's downregulated. We really can't explain that at the moment. And here are some examples of the differentially expressed genes we found in our study, one of which is the CCR4-NOT transcription complex protein. It's highly evolutionary conserved. It's recently been studied in Arabidopsis, and it's involved in controlling mRNA initiation, elongation, and degradation, and in current studies with Arabidopsis, it has been implicated in cell cycle regulation. And additionally, we have the SHY2, or short hypocotyl transcription factor. We can see a nearly fourfold decrease in anthers and almost eightfold decrease, or fourfold decrease in ovaries and nearly eightfold decrease in anthers. The SHY2, it regulates the SHY2 gene, which it regulates the response to auxin. It's a potent growth hormone associated with root elongation. Additionally, we found several genes encoding for embryo development and growth functions, one of which is the EMB2755. It encodes for ATP-binding aminoacyl tRNAs that are essential in protein synthesis, especially during the stages of early development. And below, we have the BRH1 gene. It's a zinc finger protein that binds brassinosteroids. Brassinosteroids are also a plant hormone. And they are shown to promote cell elongation and cell division and are crucial for pollen tube formation during fertilization. And additionally, in the cellular structure list, we found that the beta tubulins show downregulation in the semigrammatic line. Beta tubulins are microtubules that they compose the cytoskeleton of the cell and are involved in many cellular processes such as mitosis and intracellular transport. So in summary, we have identified 284 genes in anthers and 1,864 genes in ovaries that are differentially expressed in our semigrammatic genotype. And 79 were consistently differentially expressed in both tissues. And while we are not done with this, we're very happy with our results, but we need to do further tests, and including classifying the differentially expressed genes and categorizing them based on cellular function, cellular structure, and the biological process. Additionally, we'd like to confirm the results using an independent method such as real-time PCR or quantitative real-time PCR. And hopefully in the near future, we can develop molecular markers associated with semigamy and use them to assist in the molecular breeding program. And I would like to thank my advisor, Dr. Zhang, and our research specialist, Dr. Rodriguez, for all the help she did with the RNA and cleaning it up, and our collaborator, Dr. Stewart, and of course, my coworkers at the NMSU Cotton Lab. Thank you. Are there any questions? No. Oh, yes. We ended up taking the entire ovary at about 0 days post-anthesis. In retrospect, we probably should have tried to dissect and isolate the ovules themselves, which is why we think we got so many more genes differentially expressed in the ovaries compared to the anthers. But yeah, it was about 0 DPA. Anything else?
Get down now.
I guess so. No more questions.